Blog Talk Radio.
Come on! Yeah! If you want it all back, jump to the beat right now! Oh! For the kingdom suffering violence, but the violent, take it! Take it! By force!
Good afternoon. You are listening to the Heartbeat of God with Stacy Lunsford. And I thank you for joining me for part two of Double for My Trouble. I want it all back. Now, the song that was playing is called I Want It Back. And the author of that song is Ty Tribbett. And I want to review one stanza of the words from the song, because it's so prevalent, related to what I'm going to be talking about today. And we all have been hit in one way or another, and things have been stolen from us, and we have received some blows from the enemy. And so this line says, you hit me hard, I should be knocked out. Things I've been through, don't even want to talk about it. You crossed the line. This time, you violated me. I want revenge. I want everything back from A to Z. The battle, not mine, the battle is the Lord's. In the name of Jesus, I'm taking it back by force. So that's how we're going to open up this Bible study today. And I thank God for this message. And I thank him for everything that he has been speaking so far in 2019, because this is the year of restoration. Now, I'm going to give a short overview. We're going to recap some of the things that I discussed on part one. And we have to go to the foundational scripture, which was found in Isaiah, the 61st chapter. I'm going to start at the first verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord have anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He have sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord in the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now, verse 3, it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Verse 4 says, and they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. Now, our foundational scripture, even though it's Isaiah 61, the title of this message is found in verse 7, which I'm about to read now. And it says, for your shame, ye shall have double, and for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. So we thank God for the reading of his word, and we thank him for the promises of his word. Now, last week, I highlighted the word mourn. M-O-U-R-N, because a lot of people have been mourning the loss of their loved ones, the loss of a family member. Some people have gone through divorces. Some people have lost children. Many people lost their jobs. Many people lost their homes or mourning. And I gave the definition of what it means to mourn. And mourn is to feel regret or sadness about the loss or the disappearance of something. And right here, I want to just recap that there are different reasons that people mourn. Now, whenever you mourn, there's a healthy way to mourn and there's an unhealthy way to mourn. And there's no proper way to mourn because everybody mourns differently. And the thing that I want to highlight today is, regardless of what has happened to you, God is concerned about whatever it is that caused you to mourn, whatever it is that you lost, whatever it is that you, and sometimes we mourn because we do or we say something that we regret. And when we speak out of our feelings, when we speak out of our emotions, our words, we can never take them back. And sometimes we say things to people and it will hurt them. It will kill their spirit and it will cause them to mourn. So mourn is to also feel deep sorrow or regret for your behavior. And in a situation like that, the best thing that we can do is apologize to the person that we spoke these negative words to that caused harm to them. Now, on the flip side of that, sometimes people can say painful things to us that will hurt us, that will kill our spirit, that will cause us to mourn. And the first thing I'm going to say is, when people say something, whether, you know, if you said something to somebody or somebody said something to you, the first reaction is to defend yourself. But when we are purposed in our heart to walk in agreement with God's word, the first thing we know is that we don't have to defend ourselves because the Holy Ghost, he is our minister of defense. So if anyone says anything to you that offends you, that hurts you, and it may cause you to mourn, it may like really kill your spirit, but reject it. We have a choice every day to accept or to reject things that come to us, things that are presented to us. Now, God wants us to be happy and to live life more abundantly. That's what Jesus said in John 10 and 10. But John 10 and 10 also tells us that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So when you think about the lyrics of the song, and they were saying, I want it back. So the women, they hit that line and they said, you hit me hard. I should be knocked. So life circumstances gets up in your face sometimes and it will knock you down. But because a righteous man falls seven times and gets back up, we always get back up. So the title of this message is entitled Double for My Trouble. I Want It All Back. So going back to Isaiah 61st chapter, there's some biblical prescriptions that God gave to us to help those that are mourning. Now, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord have anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So, brokenhearted, there are many people, many reasons that people are brokenhearted. And there are many reasons that people are held captive and they are bound in prison. Now, we have people that are bound in prison behind prison walls where they are literally incarcerated, like Paul and Silas were. And then we have people that are in an emotional prison, a spiritual prison, where I don't want to get ahead of myself, but sometimes we place ourselves in bondage because we place walls up to protect ourselves once we have been hurt, once we have been wounded, whatever that hit was. So we place walls up to protect ourselves, but those walls end up imprisoning us because we don't let nobody in, including God. We don't trust God. We don't trust people. And so we are bound behind our own prison walls. And then sometimes we're placed in prison unaware because of demonic manipulation and evil influence and evil associations. And I'm going to get into that a little later. But the key here is verse 2. And it says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord in the day of vengeance for of our God to comfort all that mourn. So are you mourning today? Whatever it is that you lost, whatever it is that caused you to mourn, you're going to get it all back. Now, verse 2 is saying this is the acceptable year of the Lord. And that means that this is the year of favor. This is the year of uncommon favor and uncommon grace. And this is the day of vengeance of our God. So many people that are going through and many people that have lost some things, excuse me, and some people have lost their homes, some people lost their jobs, some people, you know, their pay was cut, no matter what it was, no matter what the enemy did, and some things, everything is not the enemy. But the point is, this is the year of retribution. God is a God of recompense. And his word tells us that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So this morning is M-O-R-N-I-N-G, not the M-O-U-R-N-I-G, when you're mourning because you suffered a loss or you regret doing something. So now I'm going to touch base on today's message. Now, many people are crying out to God, asking him to bless them, asking God to restore them, and they've been asking God to release something to them. But in all honesty, they are not in position to receive the things that they have been asking for because they are walking in disobedience to God's word. Now, let's go back to mourning for a moment. When you get hurt, what is your first reaction? Do you go to God or do you go to something else or do you turn to something else? Because a lot of times our first reaction in that moment of being hurt, of being disappointed, of being broken, of being captive, are you committing that thought to God and allowing him to lead and guide you into his paths of righteousness? Or are you responding to your flesh and your emotions? Because when we respond to our flesh and our emotions, 9 times out of 10, we're going to walk out of agreement with God's word. And we're not going to do what God wants us to do. We're not going to handle that situation from a biblical perspective. And so we're going to lean to our own understanding. And so whatever happens is going to happen, but we're going to walk ourselves right into disobedience because of what was done to us. Now, God, one of God's names is El Roi, which we have been focusing on as well, with getting to know God. Now, El Roi means the God that sees me. Now, God sees everything that happens to us. He sees everything that is done to us. He knows what we do. He knows our thoughts, everything. So whatever is done to you, God doesn't want you to defend yourself. God wants us to really just come to him and trust him. And so the main thing to bring out is the times that we didn't trust him, in the way that we used to handle things. And I'm being really careful with my words because we also have been going over Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19 that says, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. So our mindsets need to change, and we need to practice walking in the word, putting on the word, and keeping on the whole armor of God to ensure that we stay in obedience to God's word. Because when we walk in the disobedience, we're open to the enemy to attack us even more. And a lot of times, storms may rise in your life, or something may happen to cause you to mourn. And right away we saying, oh, it's the devil, it's the devil, and it's not the devil. And we need to stop glorifying the devil. We need to stop giving him credit for everything, because everything is not the devil. And a lot of times things happen simply because we're disobedient to God's word, simply because we do not do what God is requiring of us to do. So double for my trouble, I want it all back. Okay, you may want it all back, but are you willing to humble yourself before God? God is not going to bless our mess, which is our disobedience. And all throughout the Bible, we read about God's promises and the fulfillment of those promises, but we seem to skip over God's requirements for fulfilling the promises. So the foundational scripture, as stated, was Isaiah 61 and verse 7. For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice for their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. So when I read possess the double, when I read therefore in their land they shall possess the double, right away I thought about 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse. Now, I have two different versions that I want to share with you, because it really speaks volumes. And I'm going to read the Amplified version first, and then I'm going to read the Message version. So 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek, crave, and require of necessity my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Well, there's that, you know, land, which is why I thought about 2 Chronicles 7:14. Now, keep in mind, for your shame you shall have double. But God is saying, but we got to humble ourselves. So in 2 Chronicles 7:14, God appeared to Solomon that very night and said, I accept your prayers. I have chosen this place as a temple for sacrifice of worship. If I ever shut off the supply of rain from the skies, or order the locusts to eat the crops, or send a plague on my people, and my people, my God-defined people, respond by humbling themselves, praying, seeking my presence, and turning their backs on their wicked lives, I'll be there ready for you. I'll listen from heaven, forgive their sins, and restore their land to health. So today the message is a little different from last week, and this is part two, and there is going to be a part three. Last week, as we went over mourning, I said that some people mourn and they mourn because they lost their confidence. They lost their self-esteem. They lost their joy, their peace, their happiness, their hope. A lot of things have happened to them. And the culprit here is childhood trauma, adult trauma, sexual abuse, physical abuse, violations, adoption, abandonment, rejection, divorce. And we talked about splits in the church. There are many reasons that people mourn. And sometimes when we're mourning, we rebel against God. And we don't mean to. But a lot of times when we don't know how to handle things from a biblical perspective, like I said, we will lean to our own understanding. And sometimes when we're mourning, we deal with the grief, we deal with the loss the best way we know. And most people, they either going to survive, they're going to, you know, you either going to sink or you're going to swim. And in the heat of the moment, most people are not thinking about God or how to, and I'm just being real. As you mature in your relationship with God, you do learn how to go to him first. But I'm talking about years of brokenness, and I mentioned childhood trauma and adult trauma. We have things that have happened to us from small children, things that have even happened to us when we were in our mother's womb. There are men today that are struggling with rejection because their mother rejected them when they was inside of her womb. So they go through life from a young boy to a young man to an adult mourning, desiring the affection and the acceptance of their mother, but they act out of their emotions and their feelings and hurt people, hurt people. So how do we really deal with the root issues? And how do we really learn how to respond to our hurts and our pains from a biblical perspective where God's word can heal us and can comfort us? Because God is our comforter. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. But I want to go back to obedience and disobedience. Sometimes we disobey God. When you get hurt, when you get wounded, sometimes you get mad at God. And a lot of times people don't want to let God know that they're mad at him, but God knows it. He just wants us to come to him and be honest with him and be real with him. Just like I'm, you know, you're not here in front of me, but you're listening to this broadcast. So I'm just speaking like we're right here having a cup of tea. Have you ever mourned? Why did you mourn? When you were mourning, did you ever get mad at God? When you was grieving, did you get mad at God? Did you take your frustration and your hurt all on God? Did you stop reading your word? Did you stop being nice to people? Did you stop walking in love? Did you embrace the spirit of anger, bitterness, resentment? Did you embrace the spirit of heaviness? If you embrace the spirit of heaviness, guess what? You opened the door to the spirit of depression, oppression, despair, hopelessness. When you feel down, when you are down and out, the enemy knows that. The enemy sees that. And so we do have monitoring spirits, and we have tracking spirits, and they are just spirits that monitor you to see what you're doing, to see how you respond to things, to see how you react to things. And if the enemy see that you are despondent and that you're discouraged, oh, the attacks are going to be set up to discourage you even more and get you to the point where you just want to give up. You don't want to do the right thing anymore. You just want revenge. You want to get back at whoever it is that hurt you. And, you know, hurt people, hurt people. And I'm going to keep saying that throughout this series, because at some point we need to get healed. And that's what Isaiah 61 is all about. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bind the brokenhearted. So one, how do we help the brokenhearted if we broken ourselves? So I want you to know today that whatever caused you to be broken, whatever caused you to mourn, whatever loss you suffered, whatever that loss may be, whatever you are dealing with from your past, clear up to today. That thing was not created to destroy you. And what the devil meant for bad, God is working it out for your good. So don't rebel. Don't go against God. Just continue to trust him even when you don't understand. Many people have been crying out to God, asking God to bless them, but you've been angry. You're operating in unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment. And God wants you to release the bitterness. God wants you to release the unforgiveness, the anger, the bitterness, the resentment. And God wants you to forgive the person that hurt you. God wants you to trust him and take him at his word. Because in Psalm 71 and verse 1, it says, I will not be put to shame or confusion for putting my trust in God. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. So one thing that we need to do is realize that we all fall short of the glory of God. So going back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, so if God is saying humble ourselves, the opposite of humility or the opposite of being humble is to be prideful or to be haughty, to be condescending. So are you a prideful person? Are you a haughty person? Even with whatever it is that you have been mourning, if you've been knocked out, if you've been knocked down, if the enemy has hit you, if life circumstances have been up in your face, did you get so puffed up with pride that you felt like you could handle it on your own and you didn't need to go to God? Listen, sometimes it's like that, and we think that we can handle it, but we can't. Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, not your might, not my might. So I don't care how rooted and grounded you are in your relationship with God and how much you know the word, you must stay connected to God at all times. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When we think we got it, when we think we could do this thing and we think we don't need God, guess what? It's a subtle way of the spirit of pride creeping up in there. And once pride comes, the blinders come on your eyes and you are out of order. You are not walking in agreement with God's word because now, see, pride loves to satisfy self. Pride seeks to please self. Pride doesn't want to satisfy God. Pride doesn't want to forgive those that have hurt us. Pride wants revenge. Pride wants to get back at the person. Pride wants to operate in hurt and pain and hurt people. But when humility is in operation, forgiveness is present. Now, this is a difficult process because it's hard to forgive people. If you've been hurt over and over and over and over and over, it hurts. But once you understand that true forgiveness is not about you and the person, but it is about you and your relationship with God, because once you truly forgive someone and you give it to God, God will take it away from you, and he will replace that hurt, that pain, that dark spot in your heart. He will replace it with love, with the fruits of the spirit, kindness, meekness, gentleness. But the fruits of darkness is going to be unforgiveness, it's going to be bitterness, it's going to be resentment, and it's going to cause you, it's going to influence you to be disobedient to what God is saying. So in your quest to have double for your trouble, because so many people been getting excited, I've been hearing a lot of people say, oh, double for my trouble, this is the year of restoration, God is going to bless me, God is going to do this. Yes, God is going to bless his people. But don't get it twisted. It says, if my people. So do you really belong to God? Do you know God? Are you in a relationship with God? Or do you see God as Santa Claus? Do you see him in 2019 as the one that's going to come and just put all of these lavish gifts at your feet? Don't get it twisted. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek, praise. Are you craving for God the way you crave for vengeance? Are you desiring to satisfy God the way you desire to satisfy that unmet need in your life because you was wounded, because you was mourning, because you was grieving, because you was mistreated? Pause and think about that. If my people, which are called by my name. So yes, God is going to bless us and God is going to restore us. But we must also be lined up with God's word. And we must walk, and we must walk in obedience to God's word. So 2 Chronicles 7:14, that's really a call to repentance. And so I call forth a spirit of repentance upon this earth. I call forth a spirit of repentance in this world today. And this message is for believers. It is for the body of Christ. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is not for unbelievers. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. So I call forth a spirit of repentance. That's the first thing we need to do. Now, I know this message has been personal, double for my trouble. I want it all back. And listen, I want back everything that the devil stole from me. I do. But more importantly, like Nehemiah, the prophet Nehemiah, he mourned because of the conditions of the walls of Jerusalem. And he fasted and he prayed for several days. And he went to God and he asked God for permission to go to Jerusalem to repair the walls, because he was grieving in his spirit because of the condition of the people. And he went to the king, sad, brokenhearted. And back in those days, you couldn't go before the king broken or sad. And the king asked him, you know, what's wrong with you? And he told him. And so he asked the king for permission. And the king granted him permission. So Nehemiah went to Jerusalem. And when Nehemiah got there, Nehemiah didn't broadcast what he was doing. Nehemiah, he examined the brokenness. He examined the breaches in the walls. He looked at the damaged infrastructures, the bricks, the rocks that was, you know, falling or coming out. He assessed the situation. And he came back and he still didn't say anything until he got permission from God. Now stay with me because I'm going somewhere. Now, when Nehemiah finally told the people why he was there and what he was going to do, dig this. It wasn't about him. It was about the body of Christ. So, double for my trouble. I want it all back. What do you want back? Do you want to just focus on you, yourself, today? You know that expression, me, myself, and I? And this is a critical question, because it's really going to cause you to see where you are with Christ. Because Jesus is on his way coming back. But you know what? He's not here yet. And we don't know when he's coming. But is the body of Christ ready? Are we really ready? Are we walking in obedience to God's word? Do we care about one another? Do we care about the conditions of this world? Do we care about the walls? Do we care about the breaches? Have we gone to God? Have we fasted like Nehemiah did? Have we cried out to God? God, send me to rebuild the waste places. Send me to restore the waste places. Because that's the promise in his word. He said that the waste places shall be restored. And guess what? They're not going to be restored by people that are selfish and puffed up with pride, because people that are selfish and puffed up with pride, they only care about themselves. King Saul only cared about himself. He was king. He had everything. At one point, he was so humble. He humbly served God. He was a great warrior. But at some point, pride entered his heart. And it was influenced by jealousy, by envy, by covetousness. He was jealous of David, who was a shepherd boy, but was a great warrior, but was also ordained by God as a young boy to be king one day. But King Saul, he saw the gifts in David. He saw the anointing upon David. He saw that God's hand was upon David. And so he got jealous. He got intimidated. He didn't want David to get all of this attention, all of this praise from the women that were saying, Saul killed 1,000 and David killed 10,000. I want you to understand that If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. But King Saul chose not to humble himself before God. And as a result, he did not receive double for his trouble. Somebody got to hear me this afternoon. Are you walking in the spirit of pride? Are you operating in the spirit of Saul today? Because the spirit of Saul don't care about the body of Christ. Now let's talk about David for a moment. David cared about the body of Christ. David cared about King Saul. David was faithful to King Saul. He warned him when the enemy was coming. He protected King Saul. He protected the people. And he defeated the Philistines over and over and over. And yes, David did fall short of the glory of God many times. But every time David humbled himself, he revisited 2 Chronicles 7:14 because he knew he was out of order. But there's one time where pride blinded David, and David didn't believe that he did anything wrong because the haughtiness was there. He was blinded by his own lustful desires. After sleeping with Bathsheba, who was a married woman, and David was married too, the prophet Nathan had to come to David and let him know what he did. So that brings me to Psalms 51 and 10 that says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. And at that very moment, David, he repented and he asked God to forgive him. So if you walk away with anything today, double for your trouble, you want it all back. And I'm not saying things were taken away from you because you was disobedient. No, please don't misunderstand me. Yes, some things happened because of our disobedience, but all of the bad things that happened in your life, no, I'm not saying that was because of disobedience. Some things happened just so God could get the glory out of your life. Have you considered my servant Job? Job lost so much in one day. He mourned, he grieved, he suffered, but God restored him, and he got double for his trouble. Lazarus, when he died, he was dead for 4 days. When Jesus came and he said, roll back that stone, guess what? He came out of that grave, grave clothes on, walking. They had to take the grave clothes off of him. And that's the same thing that God wants us to do in Isaiah, the 61st chapter. And it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So listen, Lazarus came out of the grave with his grave clothes on. And guess what? When they took them grave clothes off of him, they put on new clothes. And I believe he stepped into the garment of praise. And I believe that Lazarus began to praise God and to tell Jesus, thank you. And he was just full of joy. We have power and authority from God. Luke 10:19, it says, behold, I give unto you power and authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So I want to say, no matter what you are going through, no matter what happened to you, no matter how you feel right now, take everything that the Holy Ghost is highlighting to you while I'm giving this message, take it to God in prayer and give it to him and talk to him and ask him some questions. Because I know some people was expecting this a different message. And yes, we are going to get our stuff back, but we need to get right with God. Now, the reason I highlighted Nehemiah and the reason I highlighted King Saul and David, and I have to giggle because, one, God took me in that direction. And I thank him. I thank the Holy Spirit for the wonderful examples. Now, this message in this series, and I already said, I want back everything that the devil stole from me. Yes. All of those things that I lost because of disobedience and rebellion, guess what? I have repented, and I'm going to keep repenting. Every day we should be repenting daily. But this is the bottom line. Whatever it is that has caused you to walk out of agreement with God's word, simply walk back into agreement with God by visiting 2 Chronicles 7:14, by humbling yourself before the Lord and trusting him. I mean, really trusting God and taking him at his word. And I want to give 4 bullet points. If you want God to bless you, if you want God to heal you, if you want God to restore you, if you want God to deliver you, you can't walk around doing what you want to do because you do not belong to you. The moment you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior, you was adopted into the body of Christ, and you belong to God. And in Isaiah 43, verse 1, it tells us that God created us, that he knows us by name. We belong to God, and we were created by God, for his glory, for his perfect plan, and for his purpose for our lives. So, do you trust God to bless you? Because when God blesses us, he blesses us. And we have no say with how he chooses to bless us. There is a process to being processed. Are you willing to let God heal you? Are you willing to let God restore you? And are you willing to let God deliver you? You see, when the Moses and the Israelites, when they were standing at the Red Sea and Pharaoh and his army was behind them, listen, they wanted back everything that was stolen from them. They did. But they were standing, you know, what am I going to do right now? I don't know where to go. They had to make a choice to come into agreement with God's word. In the moment Moses lifted up his rod and he encouraged the people to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, even if for those that doubted to that very second when that water started parting, at some point, they came into agreement with God's word, and as a result, they walked over on dry ground to the other side. Now, the blessing is they had their double with them because God made the Egyptians bless them before they even left. And many of you listening to this message, you are blessed. So God wants to bless you. God wants to heal you. And I'm going to leave you with Romans, the 12th chapter, and verses that says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So I'm going to stop there, and we're going to pick up with verse, I'm going to go back to verse 7 in Isaiah 61. It says, for your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. So if you have been blessed by this message, I thank you for staying tuned as we continue to share the gospel in a very unique way where the Holy Ghost can meet you where you are, because it's not me, it's just, I'm just a vessel. But God wants to heal us, and God wants to bless us, and he wants to restore everything that was stolen from us. And I'm going to make a prophetic declaration over your life, because this is the acceptable year of the Lord, and this is the day of vengeance of our God. And this is the year that God is going to comfort all that mourn. So the first verse, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord have anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So what does this have to do with the scripture that I just read in Romans, the 12th chapter? It has everything to do with it. God has given us power and authority. Everybody talk about, you know, restoration, being blessed, and healing. But, you know, how many people are getting healed today? How many people are getting delivered and set free? Because it's a biblical principle. I've been reading it in Isaiah 61 since this broadcast started. If the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, if God has anointed us to bind the brokenhearted, how come so many people are brokenhearted? How come so many people are still held captive? How come so many people are still in prison? Well, Romans 12, there's no sanctification, there's no holiness, there's no consecration. God is not going to bless our mess. And so when we renew our mind, earlier I called forth a spirit of repentance. Once we repent, it's not just stop doing whatever it is you were doing, it's changing your mindset. It's being renewed in your mind. If your mind is still stuck in that same place, and a good example, I'm a survivor of domestic violence. If I was still mentally and emotionally in that place where I was, I would never be able to move forward and do what I'm doing now. I'm no longer in that place physically, okay? And then even when I came out of that place, because of the hurt, because of the pain, because all of the things that I said earlier, I didn't know to go to God and cast it upon him, which brings me to another reason that I'm doing this message, because the way I am, because many people are hurting and broken and they don't know how to pick up the broken pieces. They want to be healed. How do I be healed? Where do I go? Who do I trust? So that comes right back to King Saul and David. If the body of Christ is operating in the spirit of Saul, who is going to come to your church and seek help when they know they're going to be ostracized, criticized, and rejected, falsely accused, and have mercenaries come up against them to kill them? Because that's what King Saul did to David. So this is a very deep message. It's not just about I want double for my trouble and I want it all back. And let me tell you something. If you really want it all back, if you really want to be lined up with God's will for your life, you are going to do what God is requiring of you, because God wants more. God wants more, and God wants you. God wants you. He wants to be in a personal relationship with you. God wants more consecration, more sanctification. We shall be holy, for God is holy. So don't go asking God to bless you and restore you if you're not living a holy life, if you're not living a consecrated life, if you are not presenting your body to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. It's not to no bishop, it's not to no apostle, it's not to no prophet, no pastor, or no evangelist. It is unto God. And I'm going to leave you with 2 Timothy verse 2 and 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the word of God for yourself. Now, we're running out of time, and I need to come to an end. I really pray that something said today has been a blessing to you. God wants to bless the body of Christ. The body of Christ must come together on one accord, and we must stop looking at ourselves and look at the bigger picture. You know, King Solomon, David's son, when he was appointed to office and God visited him in a dream, he just asked, "What do you want?" And he asked for wisdom to understand and to lead and guide the people. He could have asked for cars and airplanes and big mega churches, all of that stuff. But his heart was right with God. He cared about the people, and he wanted wisdom to rightly minister, help, mature, grow the people, rightly judge the people, righteous justice, Psalm 71. We need to get into the word, Psalm 72. Solomon had so much wisdom, and because he asked for wisdom, God blessed him with all of the riches and all, I mean, just, he was so rich. When the Queen of Sheba came to see all that he had, she fainted. She couldn't believe how much this man had. So don't be concerned about material things. Don't be concerned about cars and houses and mega churches, and be concerned about God's will. Because if you line up with God, you humble yourself before him, and these things that are on your heart, if it's part of God's will, guess what? He's going to do it for you. But you got to humble yourself before him, and you have to do it his way. So earlier I asked the question, are you mourning? And guess what? We have made God cry long enough. And right there, I'm just going to say, God, I thank you for this message. I thank you for those that have gathered today to hear this message. We repent right now in the name of Jesus. We are sorry for hurting you. We are sorry for all of the times that we grieved you, that we grieved your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, forgive us for grieving you, for quenching you. Forgive us for not listening when you was leading us and guiding us. Forgive us for operating in a spirit of brokenness, of hurt, pride, haughtiness. Forgive us for bad attitudes. Forgive us for walking out of agreement with your word. Forgive us for just being controlled and led by our feelings and our emotions. And I break all demonic and satanic altars and influences and evil associations right now in the name of Jesus. And God, I call forth a spirit of repentance as I release your word, 2 Chronicles 7:14, upon this earth, God. And I thank you that the power of your word has been released this afternoon. And I thank you that the angels must go forth and hearken to your word. But God, I thank you that this word is going to fall on good soil, that it's going to convict the hearts of your people. My job was just to deliver the message, but I pray, God, that it fell on good soil and that it will get rooted and grounded. And that as somebody that has not been willing to deal with the matters of their heart, the issues where they've been wounded, God, I thank you that because of this message, they're going to come to you. And I thank you in advance for those that will have prayer requests, those that have that will have questions, God. And I thank you for giving me wisdom like you gave Solomon to know what to say to them and how to pray for them. Because, God, if you don't give it to me, I can't do it. So I just thank you and praise you so much for this message. And we thank you, God, that you are a God of restoration and you are a God of recompense. And we thank you that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. And we thank you that this is the year of your vengeance. And we thank you for fighting against those that have been fighting against us. And we thank you for contending with those that have been contending with us. And we thank you, Father God, for the victory. We thank you for a mighty deliverance. And we thank you for teaching us how to present our bodies to you as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. Thank you for teaching us how to be more concerned about you and pleasing you and satisfying you. Because God, all of the double that I'm about to receive for my trouble, and all of the double that those that are truly lined up with the will, see, because our desire is going to be to please you. So we thank you in advance that double for our trouble is going to empower us to do great exploits for you. It's going to empower us to help build up your kingdom. It is going to empower us to edify, to teach and to train your people, to equip your people, to heal your people, to deliver your people. So, God, it's not about material things. It's about your will being done. It's about the Great Commission. It's about helping people to get healed so that they can be whole. God, you, there's a scripture that says that you are bringing us to our wealthy place. Well, I thank you for our wealthy place, God, and that wealthy place is a place where we humble ourselves before you and where we cry out to you, oh God. Not our will, but your will be done. Not our will, but your will be done, God. Not our will, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we humbly present this prayer to you, and we bow down to you in humble adoration. We love you and we adore you. We seal this prayer with the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life, for his death, for his burial, for his resurrection. We thank you for resurrecting us. We thank you that we shall arise and shine, for thy light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. We thank you that you are the potter and we are the clay. So God, make us over again in the words of David, King David, in Psalms 51 and verse 10, oh God, creating us a clean heart, oh God, and renewing us a right spirit. We renounce that wrong spirit, God. We renounce the spirit of pride, and we loose the spirit of humility. In Jesus' name, we give you all the honor, all the glory. Amen. This is Stacey Lunsford, and you're listening to the Heartbeat of God on the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining me today, and have a wonderful day. God bless you.